Good afternoon. Welcome back to Borderlines Lagos. Welcome back. Yes, Black History Month. We're still in Black History Month. If you didn't know that, go face the wall and then come back. I have a special guest, another special guest with me. When was the last time, yes, you people, Nigeria, Lagos, the diaspora, wherever you're listening to, she's smiling. When was the last time all of you remembered the country Namibia? Yes, I put it to you. When was the last time you thought of the southern African country called Namibia? Yeah, that's where my guest is from. And that's what the next border we're going to, Namibia. But before I start, because she's a singer and we're in Black History Month, and because she has this lovely smile, she's smiling to me already. Listen to 1 minute of her music, and then you go and download it on YouTube. Okay, you people, stop dancing. Cannot dance better than me. I assure you, you cannot. If you had seen Maria and I, you know, you do know we're streaming live on YouTube, right? And Facebook. So if you are looking, if you are watching us on YouTube and Facebook, you'll have to send a message to 0809-597-5805 to tell me who was the better dancer out of myself and Maria. Maria Emmanuel with an I. Welcome, my darling. Yes. Welcome. How are you?
Thank you so much. I'm good. So pleasure to be here.
It's a wonderful pleasure to have you. Let me just tell Lagos, Nigeria, who you are. Maria Emmanuel is a trade economist with more than 10 years experience in public and private sector. She has worked for the Office of the President of Namibia as professional assistant to president advisors. She has a master's degree in information trade law and policy at UCBT-GSB, which is a Trialac alumni, an emerging entrepreneur, or entrepreneur rather, building a digital marketplace for African-made products. And yes, she's also a singer. You're thinking, I don't understand. How do you go from being a presidential advisor to being a singer to giving us that beautiful track called Kilimanjaro? And we're going to talk about the lyrics of that. Ah, Maria, it's so good to have you. Yeah.
No, thank you so much. It's something that I get all the time. I know it's a unique way to be, because when I started doing music, I was in the university, and we started as a group, and some of my friends went out and actually became musicians, and I just continued with school. And I'm coming from a place where I'm the firstborn girl in the family, and music wasn't really the first thing that my mother expected me to do. conditioned from home. You need to get a degree and get a job. So I was doing it in the background and I was very focused on my education. But later in the year, it just actually when I joined the presidency, I started recording my music because I was recording it when I was in university, but I wasn't really releasing it. And I thought, you know, I don't want to wake up one day and I have this thing in me that I didn't get out. So I actually, even in an interview, when they interviewed me when I joined the presidency, I told them I do music. Would that be a problem? And no, it was not a problem. They ended up really being my fans. My bosses being my fans. The president also himself would listen to a song. I did a song for him. And I sort of created my career now where people recognize me as Maria or ML. Because then my music became more recognized, where people will actually listen to it and acknowledge the message in it. But I think I put more time in my career, so I'm also very known as a professional, especially in trade. I started early mentoring young people, telling them about the economy, writing research papers, and just being out there. And excellent. I think that created my career, both where I am now. So I was privileged enough to work for the presidency, and I happen to be a musician. And
Well, that's pretty unique. It's as unique as life comes. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
So I want you to talk to us about, you know, give us a brief of Namibian history. Because like I said, like I challenged all my listeners, when was the last time you all thought of Namibia? Namibia colonized by the Germans, the same Germans that then suddenly rear their ugly heads during the ICJ, South Africa's case at the ICJ, to say they're backing Israel. So, and then what was really interesting was social media said, boom, Namibia entered the chat room. Namibia said, oi, Germany, don't be so fast, because you remember what you did to us. We haven't forgotten. Even if you have apologized, it's not going to end there. Talk to us about that history, the history of Germany and Namibia.
And, you know, what is interesting is that this issue of, you know, Israel, Palestine has been there, but for the first time in the history that I'm living, it sort of, I could say in social media term, blew up, but it has been there. So already, if you look historically, even 2009, Namibia has already been speaking about, you know, free Palestine, that they should self-determine, because historically, we are coming from the same journey as a country in the 60s, when a lot of African countries were already independent. Namibia was one of the countries that was still not independent. And even with the armed struggle, what we call the liberation struggle today, started in the 60s, around 1964, when the main party, which is the current governing party, SWAPO, was actually formed. So Namibia very much relates to you know, being a small country, you know, and being, you know, colonized, or people in a layman's term, coming to take your land, coming to take over, and actually creating a system that, you know, exclude the people. And Namibia's history is very unique, because it changes everything to what today Namibia is, because of the historical journey. We came out saying very well that after the Second World War, somehow there we ended up under the South African administration of apartheid, which apartheid means separation, where basically they sort of divided even black people in tribe, what we call the Bantustan, and they put them in different locations where you say, Esom Oshiwambo, you are in here and you can only come here. Damara, you are here. Herero, you are here. And that effect, or that impact, we can feel it today in the modern day Namibia, when it comes to just being a country that self-determined, a country that works together, or when it comes to politics, there's a lot of tribalism that still comes out as an effect of the colonial system. And that's just on the social side of things. So when you come to the economic side of things, it's even deeper, because when you look at the unemployment rate and you look at the GDP per capita, you look at Namibia being a middle income country, but also looking at the fact that 10% of the population is probably carrying the economy.
Absolutely.
And the majority are still very much deep in equality.
Mm.
32 years after independence, for a young economy, a democratic economy or a country, we are still experiencing a lot of these historical injustices that was, you know, done on us. That was deliberately done. So apartheid was a law, you know, it was a law.
I mean, let me read out something for you to actually back that up so the listeners can hear. From 1904 to 1907, the Herero and the Namak took up arms against ruthless German settlers in a calculative punitive action by the German settlers. Government officials ordered the extinction of the natives in the Ovarero and Namak genocide. Over 70,000 Namibians were killed.
Yes.
Concentration camps, starved to death, etc. I know you talk about the fact that there is this sort of, if you like, underlying tribal competition, conflict, however you want to call it. Talk to us about the Namibian society itself, the Namibia as a society, as a people, when they come together under football, the way we've just done in Nigeria, you know, when there's nothing divided, and when they have to come together, what's that society like?
You know, what is beautiful about Namibia is the diversity of it, and recognizing that a diversity country makes us actually who we are. So embracing one Namibia, one nation. So that's also one of our mantras that has also strongly been promoted by our late president. As you are aware, we lost our late president last week, Sunday. So the country is in a somber, you know, we are like really sad.
You're mourning.
But you can also see we're mourning. And so he was very much known for promoting one Namibia, one nation, and trying to embrace our different diversities that brings us together. One of the thing about Namibia maybe that makes it unique as well is also that it's the way it's governed. So the political movement, and just to tell you a bit of the history, that the SWAPO party was initially started by one tribe, right? And that progressed very well, where they got to a point where they said, we cannot attain independence if we are not united, if we are not a united front. And that was very strong from our leaders, our forefathers, who actually fought for the land, for the independence, to come together as a country. So as we speak, we have different leaders from different tribal groups that have contributed to Namibia today, where we embrace them as national leaders of our country. And I think that in itself is sort of shaping us to embrace one Namibia, one nation, despite what we went through systematically in the past. So we are a very young country. We are a fun country. We have a very big freedom of speech country.
That's really good to know.
Yeah. So it's really one of the country. We are number one in Africa for press freedom. I think for years, I think it's only in 2020 that Ghana took over, but then Ghana lost it again because, they had an incident where a journalist was shot or jailed. And again, our leaders coming together and forging that unit front has shaped us as young Namibians, as people today, to actually embrace ourselves and be a united front and represent ourselves. And yeah, as you said, if you are, it's a pity we couldn't get through in the AFCON. But I think when you reflect on events like sport that brings the whole Africa together. But it also shows nationality. It also shows the united front of a country. That's when you see that Namibians are one. I think
excellent.
It's a journey.
Excellent. Please check what we have. Somebody was trying to call. You can call back. I couldn't interrupt my guest. I'll take your calls on 0700-993-993-993, or you can call on 020-1465-7190. I don't have much time with Maria. Time goes so fast. Hello?
And we still have to talk about trade.
Yes. Hello?
Hello, Bakari Yusuf.
Yes, go ahead.
Ask me a question. What I remember, first of all, about Namibia, apart from the latest of the, the CAF competition, I remember Namibia Solidarity Fund in the late 80s. I also contributed for the emancipation of the Namibia people, championed by Nigeria and many prominent Africans then. I remember MQ Abiola. So we all contributed money to liberate them, including South Africa and the rest. So I want to ask her, what does she think about Nigeria today?
Okay.
Given the kind of things that are happening everywhere, confusion in Africa, and there's no leadership.
Thank you so much. And that takes me to my next question. He wants to ask you, he's basically asked you on my behalf. So I'm going to give you 2 minutes. He said, what are your thoughts, given how a country like Nigeria rose up to, to support Namibia, to support South Africa? And when you look at Africa today, given that we're in Black History Month, what are your thoughts?
Well, I've only learned about Nigeria's contribution to Namibia through my working with the president, our late president, who is actually has been a Pan-African, who has done so much for Africa at large. And I remember we hosted a memorial service, and I was just trying to Google the Nigerian leader who passed away in 2019.
Yaradua. We hosted his,
and I was one of the, I had a pleasure of being part of the planning committee to host this memorial in Namibia, convened by the president.
Right.
And I think personally, as a young person, having a privilege of working at the level where I've worked, not a lot of young people actually get to tap into that level of understanding about the contribution of other African countries to the independence of Namibia. And working with all the people that I've worked with, actually, Nigeria, Ghana, Cameroon, a lot of the countries back then were hosting Namibians, especially in education,
right,
where a lot of our leaders were educated in Nigeria. In fact, one of my personal boss, and I was talking to her about this conversation. I was just saying I'm going on to Nigerian FM, and we're just talking about different things. She was educated in Nigeria. That's where she got her education, and she was an advisor to the president, and I was working with her. So there's a big history about Nigeria and just African contribution to the liberation, the self-determination of Namibia, that we as young people are not even aware of the specific details. And I think in general, as a continent, young continent, and I wish if we move into the main topic about older leadership and the young leadership, and in between there, really, the characters and the information that we need to know for us to actually continue the legacies or to continue the transition, there's a big gap there. So I'm happy to be lucky to have tapped into this level, but not of young people, for us to actually appreciate and understand that contribution. So it's something for me that is very important, and I'm aware. And I think the gentleman, I heard him here and there, but I get the sense of his question and reaction.
Yeah.
And the fact that he can call in talk about Namibia, I think is...
it made you smile.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
Well, yes. I mean, look, we in Nigeria, we often wonder whether we're still the giant or not. So it's good to hear from somebody like you saying, look, Nigeria is still pretty much the giant and we still recognize them as here. We've only got a couple of minutes left on this interview, unfortunately. If I said to you as a young person, I'm going to throw something at you and I want you to tell me in like 2 minutes what that means to you, especially on the international level. If I said to you, Africa Rising, what does that mean for you?
Africa Rising means the world is looking for Africa, but it means that all the challenges that we term challenges, everything else that we feel is not in place or we need to be this, it is not supposed to be. It is actually the time to be done. And Africa Rising for me is really deeper than individual countries. I've worked at the continental level in trade, international trade, and negotiating the intra-Africa trade. And historically, the where we are with the FCFTA, what we have done and all the objectives that we are setting has already been, drawn by the leaders of Africa when they were already talking about one Africa, one United States. So, if you look at the Western world and Africa being vibrant and being like a virgin, whatever they say about it, it's presenting 21st century opportunities, and it shouldn't be opportunities of other people. It should be opportunities of African people. When we talk about creating businesses and improving income through this integration, we should be seeing Pan-African companies that are coming, that are creating brands, brands that we first need to embrace and consume. And even when you look at the whole thing about Louis Vuitton area, Gucci, you know, when you talk about that
luxury goods,
of luxury goods, we need to get to a point where Africa Rising is that we enjoy our own luxury goods. And because even those luxury goods that we term today are also having a supply chain or a chain from Africa. So
that's right.
Being able to take advantage. But first, Africa Rising means removing the borders and being able to challenge ourselves that as a Namibian and you as a Nigerian, you can cross the border without us policing who you are. Because we have achieved self-determination as a continent with one ID movement permit. Because if we don't open up the border, we will never achieve the integration that we put on paper.
Excellent. Oh my. I'm giving you a virtual hug. I'm smiling. I'm very much about a borderless Africa. That's one of my advocacies. I can't bear it because until we get a borderless Africa, first and foremost, people need to stop going abroad for holidays. Right?
Yes.
For me, my first port of call since moving back to this continent is Africa. Literally.
Yes.
I would rather do Africa first than do anywhere else. But I also understand that it's really hard. Like people, okay, I'm lucky I've got a dual nationality. Most people only have one nationality. So to get across from one African country to the other is literally a nightmare. So you and I are singing and talking from the same hymn book. And it's so refreshing to hear that. Maria, thank you so, so much. We're going to have you back. Not enough time because we still need to talk trade. You know, I still want to know when we come. I mean, okay, give me 1 minute. Can I still 1 minute? 1 minute. If I land in Namibia airport today, right, and I'm spending a weekend, what would you recommend that I do quickly? 1 minute.
First of all, you must eat kapana before you leave the city. Kapana is roasted meat.
Mm-hmm.
Then you should visit the Grand Canyon.
Mm-hmm.
Then you should probably just try to drive any direction because we got the most beautiful landscape.
Wow. Wow. Any direction, you said? So,
any direction, the roads are straight. Okay. No person for a while.
Nice.
But maybe, just to give you direction, go to the coast. Skeleton Coast.
Okay. Are there good looking men?
Where the desert meets the ocean.
Are there good looking men?
Of course.
Okay. I'll be giving you a call.
But we'll pick that one up. I'll pitch it at 5. The men, I'll pitch at 5.
Thank you so much, Maria. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Part of Victoria Island, you're listening to your number one station, 99.3 Nigeria Info.